This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 4/4/22, show number 378. Sorry we took the break. I was in Las Vegas for a couple days and couldn't get to a microphone. But Nick, Elon Musk buying nearly 10% of Twitter, and the media's response is, oh, well, it's good for Twitter. At least it's good for their finances. I mean, they're like deliberately misreading the whole thing.
When I saw that this morning, I did a cartwheel. I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. The stock is up 25% today, so it is good for shareholders, and I think shareholders love it. But I'm not so sure the Twitter insiders or the Twitter management team loves it. So I know, you know, Elon Musk is very vocal and outspoken. And now he may even have somebody sit on the board very soon. So I think it's really disruptive to their overall plan. And I just chuckled at it. I loved it. But it's great for the stock. The stock is trading at up 25%, nearly at $49.50 a share right now.
Hey, and I mean, the guy is like had it in for them. He's been talking about their censorship, big tech censorship. So what's next? Google and Facebook, will he be taking positions there as well?
Oh, I would love to see it. I would love to see it, but I don't know if he would. I think, you know, Twitter being a stock that's, you know, was just trading at around, you know, the mid 30s, this was just ripe. It was just prime for him to go in there and do that. You know, when you look at a stock like Google, so many shares outstanding and it trades at, you know, $2,800 or, I mean, he could go in there and disrupt Facebook right now. I don't see why he can't, you know, this is, might be the perfect time to do it and, you know, start to right that ship. But, you know, these companies with the censorship, it's just become almost disgraceful. Honestly, I just got out of a Facebook trade myself. I bought it around the low 200s and I just dumped it. But, overall, I have to say, you know, it makes you not want to own these companies. So maybe he could put these companies back to, you know, where they become a little bit respectable again. But, you know, the censorship and all of this stuff and, you know, it just becomes too much. You know, what Twitter did with the Hunter Biden laptop and stuff. I mean, people are turned off by these companies. That's why these stocks are so low.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Everybody is fed up with them. And hey, sick of it myself. I've been the victim of it as well, and I've it's led to me not talking about certain things because I know that I'm just going to get slammed by them and eventually kicked off the platform, right?
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, if you don't get kicked off, you know, you may get throttled and you may not get the viewership. You know, that they have so many ways of controlling everything that people see right now, and you know, people are just, I think, not, I shouldn't say people, but the people out there that know what's going on, or these podcasters that have great podcasts and all of a sudden they get censored or kicked off, they've had enough. And you know, when I go to a site and I want to see somebody and next thing I know, he's been removed, I'm kind of removing myself from that company. And I think more people are starting to do that.
For good reason too, man, for good reason. So this is welcome. It's a wake-up call. I think it's in response to what Twitter did to the Babylon Bee for talking about a certain government official who's a tranny and basically saying he's the man of the year. And we'll leave it at that. I think this is retribution. And wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall of Twitter's boardroom?
Oh, boy, I got to tell you, it must be something this morning. I mean, you know, if they didn't know it was coming and they just found out this morning, I think they're going to have some emergency Zoom meetings. So, you know what's going on over there. These guys are running every which way but sideways. Oh,
they're freaked
yeah, they
for
are,
sure.
They are definitely flipping out. And, you know, I think from here it could only get better because Elon, you know, if he takes a bigger stake in this thing, I mean, after all, he is the richest man in the world, so he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and he could just go to the bank and borrow it. Well, Jack Dorsey's net worth is only $10.2 billion, according to Wikipedia. And so I don't know how much of Twitter he actually owns, but it's definitely vulnerable from a takeover standpoint because earnings have been for nothing. And he's been running the company as his own little fiefdom there. So,
well, you know, over the weekend, it was funny because Jack Dorsey came out and said that he's been hindering free speech and he regrets it. I just thought that was,
he does now.
So ironic when we saw the news this morning about Elon Musk taking the 9% stake in the company.
Hey, once he has somebody on the board, then they can expose all the shadow banning, all of the throttling of traffic, all the things that they do that are really downright nefarious.
It really is a despicable display of management, to be honest. And again, you know, we'll see how this plays out, but I think it's the best thing ever.
I love it. I love it, man. It's so great. I mean, to see the tech titan get his comeuppance in spades. I mean, it's complete humiliation. And it just shows that you can't run a company without any regard to the bottom line and just become a political mouthpiece. Eventually they catch on. Well, enough of that. So tech stocks are rallying this morning.
Yeah, we have a really good rally in tech today. You have the NASDAQ composite up about 1.24%. Apple, Google, Tesla, you name it, Amazon, they're all higher today. Tesla, in fact, is higher by 3.5%. Then you have Twitter, obviously up 25%, and the semiconductors are strong. So, I mean, tech is really acting very, very well as of late. And today, really, no problems from what I could see. It's holding up really, really well.
All right. And so last Friday, what happened to transports?
Well, this is something that I think everybody should be aware of. I know, you know, it really wasn't talked about very much over the weekend, but the transport stocks got pummeled on Friday. And I don't mean pummeled. They were down. I'm talking about the Dow Jones Transportation Index was down 5%. And even today, it's really not that strong, down another 0.5% or so. But when transports start to fall, like E.F. Hutton says, you better listen. And they really took it on the chin. Looks like trucking rates are declining. Shipping rates are starting to plummet. And that is definitely problematic and, you know, usually signals that the economy is making a bad turn for the worse. So we definitely have to keep an eye on that. Even today, I'm looking at J.B. Hunt, which is major trucking outfit, and they're down 2.7% again today. The railroad stocks are all weaker today. Union Pacific down almost 2%. And then you look at a stock like Ryder. They got pounded on Friday. They're also down. And then FedEx and UPS, which are more the delivery type names, also under pressure today as well.
You know, and we go back to the Dow theory. They always talked about the industrials being confirmed by the transports. So when you have them peaking at the same time and then crashing at the same time, right?
Yeah, when they peak at the same time or they make new highs together, it's a very bullish signal. When they diverge, you get what they call a non-confirmation signal. That's kind of where you are now. But if they start to both make new lows together, that is a very, very negative signal.
Interesting. Well, should be watching that transport index, which I don't know if that means interest rates are heading lower again. I'm not sure. You know, we haven't talked much about interest rates lately, Nick, but 30-year mortgage, 5%, which isn't really a bad deal when you consider that your real interest rate is still somewhere between minus 10 and minus 15.
But it was a much better deal if you just go back a few months, right? So, you know, it definitely made real estate more expensive for anybody trying to get a mortgage now. And how home prices are still very high and elevated. So, you know, I've never seen the real estate market quite like this in Florida. But anytime you have the 30-year fixed mortgage go up the way it has, it's going to be a big negative. And you could see it even in you know, all of the numbers that have been reflected lately, they've gone down a lot already. So, you know, that's not a positive to see people not refiing anymore, or people saying, hey, I just can't afford this home anymore at this interest rate. And that will have a big negative effect as well on the overall economy.
Yes, it will, no doubt. And that will be felt eventually. But is it enough to contain inflation? What they're doing, probably not, right?
No. And inflation is here for the duration. I mean, we probably are looking at, you know, high inflation for the foreseeable future. Now, could it be peaking temporarily? Sure. I think that's a possibility as we get into maybe, you know, midway this year, July, August. I think, you know, maybe inflation could be tamed a little bit. But overall, you know, I don't see inflation going away anytime soon.
Yep. Yeah, these things go in cycles, and then there's inflationary expectations that start to come into play. All of these things happen, and then the fun begins.
That's right.
And when it lasts for a long time, it really affects investment behavior. Speaking of which, gold been trading sideways for the past few weeks.
Yeah.
What do you see here?
Well, as we said before, you know, as long as that war goes on in Russia and Ukraine, I really don't see gold going down much. In fact, it can only go higher. Right now, it's just been treading water for about 3 weeks now. It did put a little bit of a peak in early March. And again, from that time forward, it really hasn't declined very much. So if there's a resolution, I believe, as I've said before, in Russia and Ukraine, I do think gold is in for a bit of a pullback, maybe even a little bit more than that. But if, as long as this war goes on, and if it escalates, obviously it's the ultimate fear trade. It'll go right back up and make new highs. So it's kind of tied to the war. And I think that's what it's telling us. And I think we saw that the way gold acted before and right as the war began, and nothing has really changed from there.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see where it's going to head. But you know, obviously the war has had some influence in it. But don't forget, it was trending higher already before the war.
Yeah, that's a fair point, and it was. But the market always knows ahead of time what's coming. So in my opinion, gold was sniffing this war out for us, and we just didn't realize it. And you know, gold is such a good precursor for events. And you know, tracking it for all these years and watching these patterns, you know, it's kind of remarkable sometimes that, you know, gold was trickling higher before the war even began. And sure enough, it had a big, major rally in February into early March. And it's still holding up very well, you know, basically consolidating underneath the 1950 level right now.
Hey, and talking about war, I just want to point out that before World War One, basically the world was convinced that peace was inevitable, that there would never be major wars again. And look how wrong they could be. Within like a few short years, the world was at war. And that's what you got to be aware of here. And gold, I guess, is kind of saying that. And
that's
maybe
right.
Maybe Bitcoin as well, Nick.
Yeah, maybe Bitcoin as well. I mean, I wouldn't rule anything out. And I, as I've said to my members, I said, as long as this war continues, the worst off everybody is. This is not something that you want to see continuing, because that can only lead to escalation. And the reason why the market's able to rally right now is because the war is contained in Russia and Ukraine. The minute it steps into a NATO nation or elsewhere, it's going to be a much bigger event, and it's going to be a big negative for the markets.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, that's it for today. Make sure you go over to Nick's site in themoneystocks.com. See how Nick has been beating the averages for nearly three decades now. And while you're at it, take a look at the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Your emails are always welcome, KL@KerryLutz.com. Nick, we will catch up with you on Wednesday.
Sounds good, Kerry.